It's just the aspect of any time that you are separate, you've got to reconnect. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to navigate that. And one of the things is just being able to acknowledge that that's a real thing. We recently were able to acknowledge this was an issue and recently able to talk about that. When you notice, hey, there's something here and, oh, reconnecting is a struggle for us, acknowledge this to your spouse. Mm-hmm.
You may be one choice away from a thriving marriage. Welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast with Brian and Jennifer Harvey.
Welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. Brian here with my fantastic, wonderful wife, Jen.
Well, thank you, babe.
In the Guard, I tend to travel with some level of frequency, but recently I've been traveling a lot more. I've had some different opportunities. Thank God for the opportunities and really proud to be able to serve the Air Force and the Air National Guard in new and different ways. But it's required a lot more travel.
Yeah, both in state as well as nationally.
Yeah, so it's a lot of different things. So I'm away from home more than has been typical in our marriage.
True.
I mean, outside, of course, the deployment, but that's a whole different animal. But what's interesting is we had a conversation recently. I'd gotten back from travel and we were talking about our different experiences when I get back from travel and our different desires and wants. I want you to pipe in a minute because I don't want to mischaracterize what you told me.
Okay.
But it was talking about differences. And when I get home, I am looking forward to the joyful reunion. I'm looking for affection and attention and connection. And I want this time for us. And for you, you expressed that I was being a little too pushy with that. I was wanting too much of that, and you weren't ready for that because while I had been gone, you had been functioning as a single parent for however long I was gone, a week, 2 weeks, whatever. You had a lot to do, and really what you needed time to do was kind of to catch up in some ways to me being home, and you needed kind of almost some unplug or unwind time. Is that a fair characterization of what you were saying when I was...
I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's one of those things where I think that you were thinking more of these movie homecoming returns, you know, from being gone, where it's like everybody is in, you know, perfectly clean pressed clothing and, you know,
that's
running
a extreme
to dad.
That's a little hyperbolic.
We're so happy you're home and, you know, like nothing else had been going on at home. So yes, that's probably like very hyperbolic, but I'm looking at this as more like, I feel like I have digressed to looking like Miss Hannigan, Carol Burnett version from Annie. No, I haven't been drinking or bathing in gin, I promise. But I just feel like everything's falling apart and it's just really awful and terrible. So it's like Brian's coming back and that I need that, as you put it, I think very well, that decompression time, or it's like there's been so much on me and it's really hard to do that transition as quickly as you'd probably like me to. So I'm asking you now, is that fair?
I think that's fair. I think, so for me, I've missed you, right? And so I'm looking for, again, transition. I'm looking for more of this immediate connection, affection. I'm a very physical touch person and you're not as much of a physical touch person. So it's like where I want to hug and kiss and hold hands and you want to not be touched and left alone. And okay, Brian, here's all the stuff that needs to be done. I've been doing this all on my own. I need some time to catch my breath because I've been running at Mach 1 with my hair on fire and I can't do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just different. I wanted to talk about this because whether you're a military family, active duty, where there's a lot of exercises and things going out, or guard and reserve, like our family, where it's not as frequent, but it's still separate, or you just work for a company where you have to travel,
mm-hmm.
there's differences. But there's a misnomer that it's only couples where there's separation over days or weeks or months that they have problems reconnecting. Because couples often have trouble reconnecting when they've been separated.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like our situation where it's weeks or months at a time, or it could just be that reconnection if one spouse stays home and the other spouse leaves to go to work, or you've gone two separate places to work and now you're reconnecting as a couple. It could just be a matter of hours. sometimes it could even just be a matter of minutes that you've disconnected because of different things going on and you've been focused on something else. And it creates these struggles and conflicts in reconnecting as a couple. And we need to be able to navigate that reconnecting to have thriving marriages.
Sure. And like we had talked about, it's not that I didn't miss you. It's just that it's been so much and so much pressure and overwhelm, sometimes depending on the situation. But we also like to talk about the ideas of unexpectations.
Well,
we have a chapter in the book talking about unexpectations.
And that's the conversation we were just having. It was different, our unexpectations about what reconnecting looks like.
Mm-hmm.
What reconnecting looks like to you is different from what reconnecting looked like to me. And okay, guys, we've been married 20 years. I've traveled more recently, but not traveling isn't. So we just now were able to have this conversation and realize, hey, this is what was going on. So however long you've been married, there's no shame in realizing, oh, there's something new. In this case, it was unexpectations for us.
Mm-hmm. And also we've talked about the concept too of relationship jet lag, which I love putting words to this, is when you physically arrived in the space with your spouse, but you're mentally someplace out, because a lot of this is navigating these transitions from one physical place to another, or kind of like a mental place to another, because you can, of course, be thinking about something and be kind of drifting off into whatever, whether it's work or kids or planning or whatever the thing may be that can cause that bit of a relationship jet lag.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to be mentally someplace else when you're physically together. Like Jen said, work, but it could just be chores, where you could have just been cleaning the bathrooms and like, oh my gosh, how did this bathroom get to be in this state in the first place? And your mind is still, it happened.
Parents of boys, you know what I'm talking about.
Or you had to do something in the garage or whatever it is, you were doing something and you've gone as far as you can in that task or even completed the task, but you're still rehashing, hey, could I have done that better? Or you hit your thumb with the hammer when you were hanging that picture and your mind is still on your throbbing thumb. You were just playing with the children. It doesn't have to be negative stuff. It could be positive. You were just spending time. Our son likes playing Monopoly Deal with me. We play PlayStation 5 together. I could still be replaying that battle on Street Fighter that I was doing with my son. It's like, how did he beat me again?
Right.
And I could have that and not be mentally present because I've been doing that. Or it could be all other situations dealing with being mad at someone who cut you off on the highway or feeling
good.
Oh, and
you don't want to take that home. I think that's a big thing. You don't want to take that home.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes, depending on what happened, it's hard not to, because you might be angry. You might have gotten really scared. Just, you know, what are different levels in your body doing at that point in time? And you had talked about this just acting as a first sergeant and whatnot with the military spouses when you're returning from a long deployment, because there are some people, and we've seen some very sad consequences of people are still mentally deployed overseas, and some people have a really hard time returning even after years.
Absolutely. Those of you who have been deployed, you get it. To an extent, depending on where you're deployed, it's easier to be deployed than it is to be home, because every day you know exactly what you're going to do. Okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. You're not worried about where the food's coming from. You're not worried about getting the kids to school and all that stuff. Or it could be something really horrible happened during that deployment and you need to maybe talk to a counselor or something, but you're mentally still there. And what happens is this trouble connecting, it's a common problem in marriages because we don't think about it.
Yeah, and you're not alone if you experience this sometimes. But that trouble connecting, or that trouble kind of making that transition, can lead to feelings of dissatisfaction with the relationship, feelings of isolation, like you're all alone in these feelings and in how you're experiencing things, which of course can lead to reduced communication, which is always a recipe for disaster. And that can also lead to a lot of hurt.
Yeah, hurt and anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, this is not what it ought to be.
Sure.
And the relationship, we're not connecting, this relationship is struggling. And trouble reconnecting can be a root cause of connection problems. It can, especially if you have difficult transitioning from one space to another, or you're traveling a lot and there's a lot of reconnection points and they're not being navigated well, it can be the root cause of connection problems. But a lot of times, it's not the root cause. It's just exacerbating other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a fight before you left for work or before you left on that trip that never got resolved, now you're having trouble reconnecting and you've got the connection problem from the fight. Or there's been intimacy where you guys have been struggling in the intimacy in your relationship and feeling that warmth. And then one of you had to leave and come back. My dad used to say this, and I think it's true. There's this old cliche, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sometimes absence makes the heart forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know what? I don't remember all those wonderful good things. I only remember the things that I don't. And it creates that absence isn't this, oh, this don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me, this pining of I can't wait till my spouse gets back. Sometimes it's like, there was hurt and frustration going on. And then when the spouse is gone, things don't get resolved and it gets buried or ignored. And then you come back and then all of a sudden things flare back up.
Mm-hmm.
And now the reconnection problem is coming up again. And so there's a lot of different things that can create this separation. A spouse working outside the home.
It can also be a spouse spending time with friends, parents, children. Again, nothing wrong with any of those things or bad about that, but that can cause those kinds of separation. And also a spouse taking some time to be alone. Where are my introverts? I'm the extrovert in our marriage. Sometimes there's two introverts or two extroverts or one of each, but I'm the extrovert, Brian's the introvert. But what's interesting is a lot of times for me, I do need to take some time to be alone upon that return. But Brian likes times just being by himself at home, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. It's just the aspect of any time that you are separate, you've got to reconnect and you've got to be able to navigate that. And one of the things is just being able to acknowledge that that's a real thing, which is like we began this episode, we recently were able to acknowledge this was an issue and recently able to talk about that. When you notice, hey, there's something here and, oh, reconnecting is a struggle for us, acknowledge this to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, hey, I feel this way about reconnecting, what's going on, and share with your spouse what you think the cause is. Is it an unexpectation like it was for Jen and I? Where it's like, okay, I have these expectations, Jen has these expectations, or that's what Jen thought it was, and I think she was right in her assessment of the situation. Or is it relationship jet lag? It's just one of you is having trouble mentally getting into the space from where you were to the physical space you're in now.
And then, of course, listen carefully to what your spouse is saying. And we've done some podcasts and we have chapters in our book about appropriately listening. Of course, don't be trying to predict what your spouse is going to say next, but just really take in and actively listen to what your spouse is saying and give your spouse that chance to share their experience with you. Because I see this as almost like a relationship GPS or giving directions. I can't get you to me or I can't go to you unless I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've listened to us before, you've heard us talk a lot about unexpectations, these unmet expectations that are unvoiced, unshared, or unreasonable. In our case, the illustration we've been using in this podcast, it was an unshared expectation. It was something that was so core to us that we didn't think needed to be explained or voiced, and it really needed to. Episode 4 of the podcast really goes into unexpectations if you want to hear more about that.
And we also have a chapter about that in the Operation Thriving Marriage book. But the main thing here is to talk about the unexpectations that aren't being met and then together make a plan on how to address them. This is not a one-way street here. This has to be a plan with the two of you making to address these unexpectations.
Always. Let's dig a little deeper into relationship jet lag. So I found a good article on this. I'll post it in the podcast notes. First, the big thing is you need to be honest with yourself and your spouse about what time zone you're in. Are you still, Jen recently traveled with our daughter to Italy and it took a couple days to come back. You were physically in Central Europe time zone when you're physically in the Eastern time zone.
Sure.
Well, that metaphor is true for transitioning from wherever you were to wherever you are now. And so just be honest, like, hey, the time zone I'm in is still work or the road or playing Street. I'm still in the playing Street Fighter with my son time zone, not the sitting here having a conversation with you time zone. Just be honest about, hey, okay, I'm not in the right time zone right now.
Or like I'm on the way and I'm transitioning, where it's like, okay, using your example of when I chaperoned that school trip to Italy for Brenda, it's like, okay, I've left Rome. We're in Amsterdam. And now that you and I are kind of catching up, I'm over the Atlantic someplace. Baby, I'm coming back to you. But, you know, I'm still on the way of that transition there. So I think that that's a good thing to do. And I think it's important to not be hard on each other, because, you know, sometimes those transitions for each person is going to be very different as to what that's going to look like and how to, in a healthy way, get back to each other. And we need to communicate clearly about what we need and why we need that so that we can support each other. And I'd say, to the greatest extent possible, finish the work in the time zone you started in so that you can be on the way back and you're not thinking back to that other, you know, time zone of work, time zone of spending time with friends or whatever that is. When you're in that same time zone, when you finally come together and you're able to appropriately reconnect, make the most of it. Have fun. Be a married couple together where you can do a whole lot of different things. Have fun together. Make some time. Carve out some time to do some things you like together.
And emphasize and focus on the intimacy. And I'm not talking just about sex here. I'm talking about being close, being naked and ashamed in the physical and metaphorical sense of, hey, we're connecting, we're close, we're getting to know each other again or know new things about each other. You are never going to know everything about your spouse. Your spouse is an amazing human that is going to live eternally, and there's so much about them. And they're growing and changing, especially when you're apart. They're growing and changing in ways you're not observing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this opportunity to get to know your spouse again, focus on that, and enjoy each other when you're in those same time zones.
And as you work to reconnect better, consider Paul's advice to the church in Colossae, Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive others. Work through your expectations together and navigate your different time zones, and you too will build a strong connection that will help your marriage thrive. Thanks again for joining us on the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. You can connect with us over Facebook at Operation Thriving Marriage or through our website, operationthrivingmarriage.com. Please tell a friend about this to spread the word, and please rate and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you, and we'll look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Jen and I started Operation Thriving Marriage to help couples and churches take marriages from merely surviving to thriving. We've got our book, we've got a blog, and resources for our coaching ministry, and you can bring us out for an Operation Thriving Marriage experience. For more information, go to OperationThrivingMarriage.com. That's OperationThrivingMarriage.com.